Hey, Jeff.
Hey, Eric.
How are you?
I'm pretty good. How are you?
Doing well, thank you. Regardless of how good we make this podcast, as professionals, we try to make it seem each week.
Yeah, there is no way that it's ever going to be like a radio station.
Well, no, because this is actually recorded in our New York City apartment on the Upper West Side.
So right. Ebro is not here.
You're going to hear sirens a lot. There's countless episodes when they were doing construction outside and you would hear drilling. I'm pretty sure the Nadeska episode is
gunshots
filled with drilling. Never until today. I'm trying to wait for it in the background.
No, people heard it.
But every few seconds, if you listen closely, you can hear one of two giant macaws, right? Like big parrots, essentially, that you find in the rainforest.
Mm-hmm.
Outside of our apartment, screaming. I don't know why. I know who they belong to. They belong to our super Ramon.
Yes, who is leaving at the end of the month.
He has worked here as long as we've been here.
Yeah, he's worked here for 30 years.
We have not lived here for 30 years, but he has been here for 30 years.
Yeah, he came into our apartment one time. We were watching Jimmy Fallon.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, the macaw is going crazy.
It is.
And Ramon came in and he goes, Danny DeVito's one funny motherfucker.
This is true. Every now and then, Ramon would come and fix things. A lot more often, he would just be here to converse.
Yeah.
Tell us stories, hang out, avoid other people who needed their bathrooms, you know, tiles fixed or their
leaky
faucets to stop leaking.
He would tell us how he hated the people on the top floor. He told us about the people who used to fuck on the rooftop of the other building.
Mm-hmm.
He told us about the guy who hung himself and how, you know, we were like, oh my God, I'm so sorry to hear that. And he was like, no, I got a free couch out of it.
Yeah, that's Ramon.
Yeah.
We wanted to get Ramon on the podcast at one point just to tell whatever ridiculous stories he has.
He's got a lot of good
for
stories.
For posterity.
Yeah.
But I guess that's, I mean, maybe we'll make that happen.
Yeah, I mean, he's only working like a few blocks away.
Yeah. Anyway, so if you hear, is it over?
No, I mean, the bird's not dead.
No. I know the bird's not dead. It's, you know, 5 o'clock. Maybe the bird just clocked out.
Yeah.
Anyway, there's no way to really transition into this, but I did want to make mention that we got a really, really, really amazing note from a girl down in Virginia named Madison Lee.
Mm-hmm.
And she hit us up on Instagram. And she said, you guys, I just want to say thank you. You provided me with so much insight and education on the culture of hip-hop. I'm from rural Virginia, and people just don't care about this stuff here. I'm grateful for the podcast every time I listen. It's creatively inspiring and teaches me so much about a culture that is shamed where I'm from. And I want to say that, listen, we are two brothers from 30 minutes north of New York City. We grew up with people who loved hip-hop. We grew up with people who didn't love hip-hop, but we always loved hip-hop and maybe loved it more than anybody else. And to be able to...
Well, anyone else around us.
Correct, yeah. And to be able to come down to New York City, live here, and make a career out of talking and memorializing and celebrating a culture and music that we just, that we loved from afar and now, you know, we are a part of is
the best.
It's unbelievable. And notes like this from people who love this music and this culture just like we do is really the best. So thank you to Madison Lee. Thank you to everybody who regularly comments on Instagram at It's The Real and Twitter at It's The Real and sends us emails or stops us on the streets and let us know. It's very meaningful.
Yeah. Also, like, people who leave comments on iTunes, comments on SoundCloud.
Those are all great.
Anything you guys write, we see it and we appreciate it every time.
Yeah.
And, you know, just shouts
it. Yeah. Did you hear it?
It's been going off.
Yeah.
Everybody heard it.
But yes, thank you to everybody who's been rocking with us. Today on the podcast, Jeff.
Today on the podcast is part two of the two-part, the final episode of the the Mouse Jones podcast.
Shout out to Mouse Jones, Long Island Zone. So where do we leave off? We left off where he was out of the Navy.
Mm-hmm.
He was living down in Virginia still.
Mm-hmm. Shouts to Madison Lee.
A military town.
Yeah.
And he was moving guns. And so we're going to jump right back into this episode.
I mean, do we have to give any more context to that? I mean, people should listen to the first episode if
right.
Yeah.
Okay, generally speaking, Mouse Jones is a media personality. He is an online voice. He is a defender of the culture.
Just listen to the first episode.
And he started out in Long Island.
Yep.
And he failed out of high school. No,
yeah, listen to the first episode.
This one's good. Jeff, when do you want to get into it?
Should we say three more episodes that people should listen to?
I think so.
All right. Definitely this last one, the Mouse Jones one.
Yeah, episode 196.
Okay, I'm going to say number 80, Angela Yee.
Angela Yee, who is one third of The Breakfast Club on Power 105 and syndicated nationally, but also she's had a fascinating journey as she worked with Wu-Tang Clan. She managed Jay Electronica for a little bit. She was hired by Paul Rosenberg over at Sirius, and she really came into her own as a morning show host on Power 105.
I'm going to say number 36, Trey.
That is Trey, the rapper and Sirius satellite radio host, not the writer. This is Trey, who is from Coney Island, who really lives down in Atlanta, but his heart is here in Coney Island.
Well, he says that he doesn't go down to Atlanta that much. But
he lives in Atlanta, has a home down there. We visited his home.
number 116, Mac Wilds.
Mac Wilds. Hey, shout out to Mac Wilds, who we get into all his acting stuff, all his music stuff. He's a really fun dude, and he's a great friend of Mouse Jones, so good pick on that. Jeff, when do you want to get into this?
Right now.
Between Virginia, West Virginia, mm-hmm. and going to D.C. every weekend, I was getting a lot of guns. Mm-hmm. I never, ever, ever wanted to be a part of no drug game. Like I just didn't want to be a part of that, like, destruction. I seen what drugs did to people. And although I'm a huge purveyor of, like, accountability, like, mm-hmm. you bought your drugs. You shot your drugs up. You did this. I don't want to be the one putting it to you. I don't want to be any part of that.
Right.
So
this is just, well, you being a Republican. You're just like, oh, yeah, of course, Second Amendment. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Everyone gets a gun.
Right. That's, listen.
Wait. go ahead. Yeah, it doesn't matter. No, I was going to say, like, how are guns less destructive than drugs?
Because these, so the guns I'm moving, here goes the thing with this whole gun shit, right? There's always going to be criminals. There's always going to be bad guys. So you take the guns away from everybody, you're not going to take them from the bad guys. You impose whatever law you want to. In New York, there's a 3-year mandatory minimum if you get caught with a burner. And that's without the bullets. After the you get in another, I think you get another clip for everything in, for every bullet that's in there.
Mm-hmm.
You think, has gun violence gone down in New York? No. Are motherfuckers still getting shot? Yes. Like, a criminal is still going to be a criminal. So making the civilians pay for that, you're always going to get some kickback. You get what I'm saying? I don't know what the answer is to this gun reform shit, but, like, taking everybody's guns, that's not the answer.
Well, good luck getting to be mayor.
True. I'll settle for the mayor of culture.
No, but, like, we could have a longer conversation mm-hmm. about this, but, like, I do want to get back to your story, right. Which is...
So, okay, so you're in Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
You think you're going to die down there?
That's because after a while, people are starting to get jealous. Because now there's this young kid from New York with no... Like, I'm hit up when the radio station comes to the barbershop or whatever. I'm hit up when Allen Iverson opens up his club in Chesapeake.
Mm-hmm.
I'm hit up... I'm moving now. And, like, my name is moving around there. And Virginia people from the hood, they hate boat boys. And that's what they call people in the Navy. They call us boat boys. Hmm. They hate boat boys. They hate us.
So boat boys and then the townies.
I don't know what we ever called. We just call them niggas. Right. Well, obviously, you can't say that. So, yeah, let's call them townies. So I started getting that. And I started realizing that, you know, I never did, like, just one thing and stop. You feel what I'm saying? So, like, even though I'm moving guns, I'm still, like, boosting. So I'm, like, going into Dillard's. And seeing the lax in security, and I'm walking out with bags of shit. And then I'm going to Macy's, walking out with bags. I'm boosting, like, I'm getting shit off.
Even though you still got a salary?
Yeah, hell yeah.
And you have a second
job. No. I don't have a salary now. This is after I'm at the military. But even when I was in.
No,
because remember, they gave me the humanitarian transfer. So I come back, and I'm still in Virginia.
Right.
I'm getting money down there. I'm coming back down there to finish the business. So I got in barbershop, you don't get no salary there. You get paid by your cut.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Yeah, that shit is doing all right, but it ain't doing not what like these this. Guns is doing. Mm-hmm. It ain't doing what this boosting is doing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I tell people all the time, like, between boosting, I really didn't have to spend no money. I always had clothes. And then I'm selling, you know, yo, I get a chick from one of the, so, like, they don't have projects down there. They call them parks,
mm-hmm.
which looks like to us would be just like a regular apartment complex, but down there, that's the projects down there. Mm-hmm. So I would get a regular chick out the park and be like, yo, just move this for me. Like, come get these clothes, sell all this, you take part, and then give me this.
Mm-hmm.
That shit. And then you start, I built a little boosting team full of women. This is why I always, like, I've never not said, always surround yourself with women, because they do everything better.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I remember I had a boosting team of niggas, and they always got caught. Always got caught because they look conspicuous. Niggas don't know what they're doing. Like, niggas doing dumb shit. You go in there looking like you about to steal.
Mm-hmm.
Women walk in there, walk out of there, and nothing ever happened.
So, did you ever get close to being caught?
Oh, yeah, mad times. Mm-hmm. I remember boosting out of Dillard's and, like, running, like, taking flight. Like, what? You said, gone, running, like, I almost got caught. Yeah, hell yeah, because them cameras, them motherfuckers take a loss after a while. They start paying attention to them cameras. And then they started putting in these fucking bum-ass loss prevention. I'm saying bum-ass, their job. They're doing their job. But these loss prevention guys, and they motherfucking take their job so seriously. But you could always point them out. They always had a tracksuit on. So I'd be like, man, get your dumb-ass out of here. You're not trying to buy none of this fly shit. Like, right. I would hit polo and do, because this is when Young Dro, like, niggas in the South loved polo. So when Swagster first comes out, and all that shit, oh my, I'm on Hypnotic, got polo on my butt.
Mm-hmm.
Motherfuckers are coming poloed down, like low, like they're not low lifes,
right?
Because they don't put it together as well as the low life does.
Right, they're low key.
And as bad as low dresses, yes. Low, I love you. But you know you dress bad. But so yeah, so
flipping polos.
Oh my God, I'm doing polo numbers dirty. From Dillard's, because Dillard's would have the exclusive shit. So like a motherfuckers would come to me and put in orders. Like, yo, they got the handkerchief, dog. Can you come get the handkerchief from me, dog?
Yeah.
I said, orders. I got you. Orders. I'm talking about orders. So like you come see me at the barbershop.
Mm-hmm.
And same order book. Right, just tell me what you need and we gonna go get that. So I would come in, I see it. If I didn't want to do it by myself, I'd tell the girls, all right, this is where this is, and this is where this is. I'm going to be outside. The women never got caught. I'm the only motherfucker that ever got caught. Women never got caught. That they're still getting their money down there. You feel what I'm saying? Like, never. Women are amazing. They're fucking amazing. They're fucking amazing, dog. Never got caught, ever. They would be in there looking so right. I'd be like, bitch, but how did you do that? I was right next to you. Bitch, how did you get that shit? You took it off the mannequin. Like, polo watches and shit. I'm like, oh my Lord.
So what are your dreams at this point?
I think I want to come back and do I want to come back. I want to get into that's when journalism came back into play.
But
I
like,
want to go to Howard. I want to use my GI Bill. I want to go to Howard.
Okay. GI Bill can get you in anywhere?
Yeah, pretty much.
And you can do whatever you want with that.
But I didn't have my high school diploma.
That's an issue.
And
you couldn't swim.
No, at this time I could swim. I had learned after that. It was just that you gave me 8 weeks. I needed the extra help. Now, 8 weeks wasn't going to do it. But, you know, and then, yeah, so.
So what could you do?
What do you mean? Swim-wise?
No.
Oh. My combat side stroke is good.
No. What could you do without a high school diploma, wanting to get a college diploma?
So I think I was just enjoying being that nigga because it was like gratifying. Like going to the mall and everybody acknowledging you for like, oh, are you the kid? Yo, I seen you in the club. But then that shit started like getting to me. Then cops started getting involved. I remember I got arrested in Virginia for a gun, and it just so happened it was my service pistol. I was supposed to give my service pistol back after I got out the military, but I didn't. So like I got in like a little trouble for that. I had to pay a fine or whatever.
Wow.
But like. That was the first time I got treated like shit by the cops. So like, you know, he like cuffed me, put me on the front. I had this Mustang at the time. Puts me on the front of the hood, and if you remember the old school Mustang, the Mustang GTs, they swoop down.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I'm on this side of the hood. I'm on the hood and I'm short. So it's like my feet are kind of like I'm on my tippy toes and I'm like this.
Mm-hmm.
And he just like lets me fall face in the dirt, clothes all dirty and shit. Like he just lets me sit there. And like I'm trying to wiggle to get up. He yells, stop resisting. And in my mind, I just hear, like, Amadou Diallo stories and, like, Abner Williams stories. So I just got moving. I lay in the dirt. Yes, Virginia police are some fuck-ass niggas. Sitting in there, even knowing that bail is coming, just sitting in that cell, it was weird. It was like, this what I'm doing? Didn't stop me enough. It just, like, made me want to do it better. I got arrested two more times.
Wait, who bailed you out?
I had a shorty bring the money. I always had money. I was never under the guise of what I'm doing is right or legal. Mm-hmm. So you know, and then like I had made.
Well, I didn't know if it was like you had to call your family or something.
Oh no, yeah. Never had to call my okay. My dad started to figure out something was going on. Mm-hmm. And then there was niggas try to book me. Niggas try to get me. Out there one time. I was leaving Chevy's, which was like there was their club. There was a lit club. I'm leaving Chevy's, and I just keep seeing this car follow me. And like, I remember I was doing like weird shit. Like I was taking ways that don't make no sense, and the car is behind me. I said, "Oh, all right." So I get off by Newtown Road, and when I get off, I pull over a little bit, and the car pulls back, and I just let off. Pow, pow, pow. Car pulls off. I said, "Yeah, that motherfucker's on me." So I called my dad, I'm talking, and I just like, I guess I sounded worried. Mm-hmm. And so he was just like, yeah, like, that's when the talk started, like, coming back to New York. Because I was not going to come back. Like, I was defiant. I'm like, I'm not going to come back.
Who are you? Like, are you, mm-hmm. are you the kid before the Navy? Are you the kid in the Navy?
Right now.
In your heart right now? Of hearts. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Are you the kid post-Navy? Who are you?
I think I'm all of them. I tell everybody all the time, like, I'm an all-encompassing person. Like, I'm a full human being. So, like, when you hear these people say things about, like, I've lived a life, mm-hmm. or I've lived multiple lives, that's literally my story. I've lived multiple lives, and each of those moments that I went through got me to where I'm at now, made me prepared for where I'm at now. I wouldn't be where I'm at now if it wasn't for going through, you know. Jay-Z once said, I wish you insight. Like, that shit is huge. You feel what I'm saying? I wish you insight so you can see for yourself. When them jackets is coming and them cops is coming. Like, that shit meant something to me because if my mind wasn't moving like that in Virginia, I would have never made it back to New York. You feel what I'm saying? Like, so long story short, I had moved out of Granby. I moved out to Alexandria at the Granby because it was too hot. Mm-hmm. I'm like, oh, nah, niggas gonna be on me. So I moved into Chesapeake Park, Pleasant Park. So I'm now in, like, there was a moment where at least there would be some type of separation. Mm-hmm. I'm in it. The trappers are seeing me. I had some little young boys doing some things out there. So they're seeing me. I'm tangible. And motherfuckers don't like that. As nobody would. Like, you're not going to go to anybody else's hood and get money and not respect. You know, not that I was disrespectful. It was just like, I'm getting money and I'm not sharing with you niggas.
Right.
And I'm younger than you niggas. There's no way that's just going to go. So I pulled in.
And you're a boat boy.
And I'm a boat boy.
And you're a Republican.
Yes. At the time, yes. So when I pull in, Pleasant Park only has one entrance. So I pull in, a car pulls in front of me, a car pulls behind me. And them motherfuckers let go. Boom, 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 boom. And the only reason I'm alive today is because the motherfucker couldn't rack. He had an AR. Mm-hmm. He didn't rack his shit right. So I see him fucking with it and I'm like, oh shit. So I drop and then motherfuckers let off. Doom, 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 doom. You could go look it up right now on Google, whatever, the car. Like, I left the car there, ran in the apartment, got all my shit, and got on a bus ride. Like, so when you listen to my podcast with my dad, that's what we're talking about. Where he called me, like, come home, son. It was like literally 10 minutes after that. Like, literally 10 minutes after that, my dad called me, like, son, we're not, no conversation, come home. I want my son home, come home. And I'm back in New York. That's 2010.
What the fuck are you doing in New York in 2010?
Everything. So I come back to New York, I leave all the money down there. So I think somebody snitched. The building super, he snitched. So he comes in the apartment because I left the apartment. I ain't say nothing. I left. So he comes in the apartment one day. There's guns. There's money in there. Snitches. The apartment was never in my name. It was in one of the girls' names. So because to get a place out there, you got to be like on public assistance or something.
Right.
So she gets in. So she probably says something. Might say something. All of a sudden, the first month, I'm dodging calls from all kind of detectives in Virginia. And I'm like, yo, I can't do this. So like, I wasn't doing no illegal shit. I'm like super broke. Like, super fucked up. Like, I had literally the small bag I came back to New York with, and that was it. I started working for Sunrise Credit Services, which is a collection firm. Mm-hmm. And I did well there, obviously, because I could talk, and I got people to pay their bills. Even if they didn't pay their bills, I kept them engaged, which is something they liked. They also seen that I was in the military, so they gave me like a promotion, as if that means like because I got leadership. Mm-hmm. So there is when you know you crack jokes, and in the military I would see it a lot. Never in a barbershop I would see a lot, but really at this job with all these white people is when I really start to listen. Is when they would be like, "Yo, you should do stand up. Yo, you're so funny. You should do stand up." I'm like, get the fuck out of here. Fuck, stand up and do what? Like,
you didn't think that you were that funny?
Mm-mm. Like, it never dawned on me to do stand up. Like, I never, like, I have a reverence and, like, a respect for the craft of stand up to this
you
day.
You loved Def Comedy Jam.
Like, what those guys did was superhuman to me.
Mm-hmm.
Comic View, superhuman. Lil Duval coming out and doing the remix to the Music Soul Child song,
mm-hmm.
and like talking about buying a girl a drink, one of the greatest bitches I've ever seen in my life. I have a reverence for that. I remember going to see Kevin Hart because I was a Kevin Hart fan from
Rockefeller films.
The Rockefeller films.
Yeah.
So when he came to Virginia and did Grown Little Man, I was there, and I'm like, oh, this nigga, he needs to be a star. Obviously, I'm not saying I'm a talent scout. I'm just saying, like, I had some type of reverence
you
for that.
You were the one.
Yeah, I found it.
Shorter guy did Breaking and Entering. Yeah.
we correlated, you know?
Yeah.
So when I come back, I start doing stand-up at this club called Governors.
That's funny. Yeah,
you got the Governors?
We performed the Governors. It's behind a peck.
Behind, on Division F. Yeah, see? So, y'all know. Right in Levitt, Tara.
Yeah.
So I meet this guy. I got Matt Brew, I forget his last name. He worked there, and he was like, he was cool with the guys from Governor. So he was like,
that's a big room, by the way.
That's a huge room.
Yeah.
And to see, so the first couple of weeks, I'm like, no, I'm not doing that shit. But then you start listening to people when you talk to them, and they're like, yo, you used to do that in high school all the time. You do that on the block all the time. You do it. So I asked my pastor at the time. Because as soon as I came home, I got saved. Like, you know, I gave my life to Christ and said, like, do away with all the street shit.
Baptized again?
Yes. Well, for the first time.
Okay.
For the first time.
Whoa. Really? Even though your parents are so...
We never got baptized.
So, all right, those bullets, like, almost changed my
life.
Out.
Changed my life. When I come home, so that happens on a Wednesday. I get back to New York Thursday evening. Friday, I'm hanging with my little cousin, Toya. I'm hanging with her. We go pick up like two girls. She likes girls. So we go pick up two girls. We're in her car. We're coming off the street that we come off. Years we've been coming off the street. For some reason her brakes give out. The car goes careening into the in the traffic. A car hits it. I'm the only person wearing a seatbelt. I take my seatbelt off. I grab my little cousin Toya, because I'm sitting behind her. I grab her. The girl I'm sitting next to, I take her and I shove her into the my other cousin that's against the door. So when the car hits, boom, all the impact. I take all the impact. There's the glass, right? The glass doesn't break. It doesn't shatter. I take all the impact. Nothing happens. That's supposed to kill me. The cops did not believe I wasn't. The cops believed, because at the time I had like a suspended license for something. The cops thought I was driving, because there's no way I'm the only person who's not hurt. Everybody else hurt. I'm holding them and they hurt. I'm good. The cops thought I was the one driving. Like, they were trying to book me for like 20, 30 minutes. Everybody's like, what the fuck is wrong with y'all? He wasn't even driving. He saved all of us. There was a moment where I said, the devil's trying to kill me. This is literally all like within a 72-hour span. I'm trying, like, I'm supposed to be dead. So that's Friday. Saturday comes, I don't even leave the house.
Shook.
Sunday comes, I run to church. I'm at church before my parents. I'm living with my parents. Our church is literally like a 5-minute walk. It's from here to the end of your block.
You saved everyone in the car, and now you're about to get saved.
I ran to that shit. And it's so funny. The pastor didn't even do altar call that day. I had to remind him. I was like, excuse me. You forgot a part where you save souls. Right, you start your life over.
Right.
I need that right now.
Where's the part where everyone passes out? That's the
that part. I need that right now. That's good. Good, you know, in church. That's good church knowledge right there. I gave my life to Christ. So I'm doing, and he was like, you're living your life for Christ. So whatever you do publicly should reflect that. So to me, that was him telling me not to curse. And I understood that. I have a foul mouth. So I was like, okay, I won't curse.
I mean, you are a sailor.
I am a sailor. But it's much, I liken it much to He's good. He's good. Yeah. I liken him much to like Will Smith and his grandmother. Mm. Like, with, I don't know if y'all know the story, like when Will Smith started rapping, his grandmother didn't like want him to curse in his rap. So that's why like he never cursed in his raps.
Yeah.
And it was very much like that. Like, I wanted people to really understand, like, oh, I'm Christian. My life is different. I don't. So I went and I did Governors. I said, I agreed to it. And the guy he went and does this like stupid little flyer, and we put it on Facebook, and everybody supports. You got to bring at least 6 people. All got to buy like a 2-drink minimum to form, or maybe it's not for you. You guys are probably booked.
Yeah,
This was an opener. So, this was like an amateur night thing.
Yeah. But you were in that big room.
Yeah, still the big room, and we go in there to bring a show. So there's 6 of us, and I go last because all my people got there late because black people. All my people get there late, but they showed out. I'm talking about I had the most. I had so many people there that the guy came midway and was like, "Hey, Mouse." He said, "Hey, yeah," because I changed my name to Mouse at this point.
Yeah.
Started doing comedy. I'm like, "All right, I'm not."
Mascot jokes.
Nobody. Yeah, that's where that comes from. That used to be my Twitter name.
Hmm.
And then there was like, there's no way I didn't see nobody introducing Mousy Jones, and I didn't want to come up with another name like I'm Mousy. So I like cut the Y off. I'm Mouse Jones. Mm-hmm. And that's how people. Obviously, I'm here now.
Yeah.
So
how did you do?
I did really well. The guy comes out, and he's like, "Listen, Mouse, you have like 30 people out there. You know, they took a while to get here, so you know that's why we moved you to the end. But if you want, we can." I said, "Nah, leave me at the end, because now I'm shitting bricks. I'm nervous."
Yeah.
I'm hearing everybody go out, and I'm hearing everybody kill. But obviously, well, you guys now know.
Yeah.
We're behind. You're in a green room. Mm-hmm. So one laugh could sound like a million.
Yeah, yeah, sure.
In a million laughs, you might not hear because the way that room is.
Also, your 30 people are definitely not laughing at anybody else.
No, I told them not to.
Yeah.
I said, "Don't you dare laugh at anybody else." Yeah. Don't you dare. But so it gets to, so there's 2 black guys. Shout out to this guy. His name is Chaos. I don't know if he's still doing comedy. So he goes out and he bombs. And like he takes, like he was taking people's phones and like trying to, like he bombed. He did really bad. So I go out there. So he introduced Mouse Jones, and I go out there, and the first joke, I'm like, "Don't worry, guys, I'm the funny black guy." And just, I was on a roll from there. It was just a roll. It was very, my comedy was like very anecdotal.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So like I was just telling like funny exaggerated stories about like, you know, being, it was literally the opposite of me, like being scared to, you know, approach my daughter, a bully's dad, because I'm like me and my daughter are the same height, and like being scared of that. I had this one joke about, you know, being Christian, so like having sex to like gospel music and like shit like that.
Yeah.
They liked it. They loved it. It was good. They called me back to do like some feature shows, and that's where I met Fudge. But I realized very early that I wasn't gonna make a lot of money doing this because, you know, it's the comedy grind.
Yeah.
One day, a church hits me up and says, "We want you to do our youth service."
Mm-hmm.
Oh my Lord. I just said a number. They're like, "How much?" I said, $500. They said, "That's it?" Like, "Sure." I said, "Oh shit, that's it, bitch, fuck." I didn't curse because I'm a Christian at the time.
Yeah,
but like, I was like, "Oh,
that's just like one pew."
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, that was like, they were like, "500, don't worry about that." So I do a youth day. I did so well, they laughed so much, they engaged so much, that they gave me my $500. That's in the Christian, I don't know what it's called anywhere else. You know, in our business, it's called our rate. Mm-hmm. In the Christian world, it's called your honorarium.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So they gave me my honorarium, and then they fucking gave me like an offering. I was like, "Oh shit, now I'm moving in this church world, you know, doing this comedy thing. Guess who comes calling?
God."
Yeah.
No, he already came calling. If he's coming to call, I'm leaving. No, my biological father.
Whoa.
My biological father.
What did that feel like?
It was like, "What the fuck you want?" It was like, you've not been here. Yeah. Now,
and he rejected you.
Exactly. Like very publicly.
Yeah.
You know, quick running back story. He was in Chicago when I graduated. I sent him a ticket and everything. He didn't come. He was in Chicago. He could have came, chose not to come.
Yo, well, this is some movie shit.
Wait,
right here.
Why did you reach out?
As much as I like to, a son always wants to like be connected to their dad.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And especially at this moment, like, you know, I was feeling like there's a lot of me that I don't understand, and you could probably, you know, help with that. So I always tried to keep that, you know, communication. Also, my little sister, she was in the middle. She was always caught in the middle. She's 2 years younger than me.
His daughter.
Yeah. So she was always caught in the middle. She always be like, "Please reach out to daddy." So I always tried to, Right. That's to now where I'm like, I'm a grown man, dog. Like,
right. Well, I'm just trying to like establish that there was some sort of intermediary with your sister.
Oh, yeah. She was the intermediary. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Because, you know.
It wasn't you just like.
Okay. Nah, there was always that. So, yeah, he comes calling. Mm-hmm. He's like, yeah, I want you to do something at my church. And I'm like, yo, fuck out of here, dog. Like, no. And I go talk to my pastor. And he gives me all the answers that I didn't want to hear. You know, respect your father. You know, this is your father. You know, that doesn't mean you have. Because I'm very protective over the man I call my dad. I'm very protective over him. Mm-hmm. You know, where people are mother's boys, I'm more like, I'm a daddy's guy. Like, whatever he says, it goes.
He was there.
Yeah, like, I hold him on a higher pedestal than I hold my mother. I hold my kid. Like, that's my superhero.
He was there time and again.
Yeah. And didn't have to be.
You
feel what I'm saying? Like, like, he didn't have to be. He had two kids he could have, you know, paid attention to. He had two more kids that was born after the fact. No, like, every time my dad was there, like, there's not a time in my life that I could look back in my dad since 6 years old and not see his face there. You get what I'm saying? Like, I don't play like that. So it was a very weird way. So this is 2012. This is a very weird time because I'm becoming my own man. I'm with my baby mother. We had just, so we had just had my second daughter.
Congratulations.
In 2012. Thank you. Yeah. Mm-hmm. We just had her. Planned it. You know, it was like, hey, let's have a kid.
Yeah.
You know, and you know, me, that's why I needed him the most. I'm gonna be honest with you. I needed him the most there. Because I'm not, as much as I like to take aspects from my father, my biological dad is like who genetically I am and who I most probably resemble in, you know, some of my aspects and ways. So I was like, damn, I need it
for better, for worse.
Exactly. So he never was good with relationships. This was my only relationship. That I never had a relationship before that. Anything else was, you know, I'm fucking and I'm gone.
Yeah.
So this was like my first actual relationship. So I want to know, why am I like this and why am I like this and why do I And my dad didn't have those answers. My dad had the answers, you know, the this is what you should do. And I understood that part. I'm like, all right, this is what I should do. This is what I'm doing. I need to figure out the shit in the middle.
Yeah.
And only this motherfucker can answer those questions for me. And it didn't work out that way. I was very open. I invited him into. He met my baby mother. He met my kids for the first time. I had him. I let him very close to me. Mm. And he violated. You know, we don't got to get long into that, but he violated. And it was like, yeah, I'm good on all this church shit. Like, I'm good on all of this. I don't trust any of you. And so that was that. So that was that. So that goes from.
Because a man of the God.
Exactly. Is a blaring, like, flagrant piece of shit. Like, there's no need for me to further this. You get what I'm saying? So once I left that, 2013 is when I'm still doing comedy in all the churches.
Wait.
Go ahead.
So I did some research before you came over.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I did find out your real name.
Thank you.
but something did happen in 2012, which seemed to be a major event for you.
Right.
Which was that you, maybe this church group, I don't know, but they were doing an opening spot for Jimmy Fallon.
Yes. So I'm doing comedy, and they're doing an opening in this guy used to do what was the shit I did? Stand Up for Diversity. That's how all that came about. So I did Stand Up for Diversity, which is an NBC competition that they do for comics in New York City. Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know.
Like a showcase.
Yes, a showcase you do. So always my luck, I'm always late or I'm always like the last of the line and like I'm just like, and so like I got there after the cutoff and I'm like, fuck out of here. Funny story about that, the way this comes full circle, I meet Mike Brown that day.
Oh, yeah.
And I meet Marie Forstein that day.
Yo, shout out to Mike Brown.
Yeah. Shout out to Mike Brown. Shout out to Marie Forstein. Me and Marie Forstein ended up doing the BET nomination special and didn't even know until like it came out. And, like, we texted. I'm like, yo, son, that's crazy. Like, we met on that line. So I do that. They like my bit, but I was not a comedian. Like, I realized that day I'm not a comedian. Because before, it's like, I'm the comedian on the church bill. I'm now a comedian in a room full of other comedians trying to make comedians laugh. As you guys know from doing comedy, that shit's impossible. And so I'm sitting there and I'm looking the talent scouts directly. And I don't want to look at these comedians. I'm like, these motherfuckers haven't laughed at nothing nobody else said. And I bombed, man. I bombed big. Because I called it trying to do a B-Rabbit. Because everybody came out there and tried to do this set and tried to do this set. I'm like, listen, I came out there. I'm like, listen, I ain't got all that. I got nigga comedy. And that didn't go over well.
I can't swim.
Yeah, I'm doing bad. I'm doing just like shit that only black people would find funny. And that's not, it's, I guess it wasn't too diverse. But they like me. So when they gave everybody else, you know, their numbers, Mike moved on, Marie moved on. I didn't move on, but they asked me to stay after. And so I talked to the talent scout. They're like, yo, let's just, we'll keep you in mind. You know, we got some stuff coming up. Keep you in mind. I said, cool, whatever. 2012 comes, and because that was the end of 2011. That's the first time I meet Royce da 5'9". Royce da 5'9" was eating. So it was at Gotham Comedy Club.
Yeah.
Slaughterhouse is like brand new. I'm literally listening to them, listening to the Slaughterhouse first album, which is underrated like a motherfucker. There is some elite rapping taking place on that Slaughterhouse first album.
Right.
That just needs to be respected.
Here comes Sweeper Boy with all of his hot takes.
Oh, God, I hate Jeff. Oh, I hate Jeff. Oh. But yeah, so I'm standing online, and Royce da 5'9" walks out of whatever restaurant is right next to Gotham. And I'm like, I don't know why. I'm just such a nigga. And I'm like, Slaughterhouse. I'm like, Slaughter. And he's like, yo. He's at, like, Royce, he's mad cool. I've never met him since, so I don't have any rapport with him. I don't want this to sound like a story. Like, yeah, we're mad cool now. Right. No, I have no rapport with him. That was the only one and only time I met Royce. And I blew it. And he, like, he talks to a few of the comedians. He's like, oh, what y'all doing? He's like, oh, y'all some funny motherfuckers. And yeah, and so he left. We got, that's like probably like the only picture I ever took with a celebrity, because I don't believe in that shit. But I took a picture with him, put it on my Twitter, like BlackBerry Twitter day, like Echo Phone and shit like that.
Blurry.
Yeah, it was blurry as a motherfucker. But I was like, Slaughterhouse, y'all see what's up? My 350 followers, y'all see what the fuck is up? I'm moving.
Three but, likes.
Yeah, three likes. That's all I got. And like, two random people that lived around the corner, like, yo, you making moves, son. No, I'm not. So, like, yeah, so February 2012 comes, like, right after I had my youngest daughter, I get a call. And they're like, yo, you wanna come do this warm up? And I'm like, yeah, I wanna come do this warm up. It's for Jimmy Fallon. So I come out there, and you know, Jimmy, he's in the back, and he's talking, you know, to us after we did our sets. And he was like, yo, you have like, you like tell stories well. Like, you should probably do a podcast. And I'm like, what's a podcast? It's 2012. I'm like, what the fuck is a podcast? Like, I have no idea what that shit is. No idea. And then when I leave, I, you know, Google what's a podcast. It's the fucking shit that I heard you guys on. And it's the shit I heard Rosenberg and Seif. You guys. And I didn't think it was a podcast. I don't know what the fuck it is. It's like, oh, this shit sounds pretty cool. I don't know how to follow. So where... like it was on a blog. It was on a blog site. So like I was deep into the blog sites. That's where I first hear Corey's name. Deal with No Deals. Where I first hear them. This is where I first hear Chris Casanova. Which is where I, you know, discover Wale. And, you know, my fandom. My fandom starts with him. You know, low key. You know, these. You know, the people I'm now. You know, you got like this is where it's all coming from. So you guys were up on a blog, and so I didn't know it was. This is a podcast thing. I didn't know that. It's just like, oh, okay, this was cool to listen to. What's next on the blog? Like, you know, page 19.
Right.
What's next? I used to go deep. I used to go deep, son. I used to go deep. You know who I missed from those days? XV. What happened to him?
Oh, we XV were talking got about, shouted out on
I guess
the
he's coming Alex back, actually. Yeah.
He's coming back out?
Yeah, he's coming back out.
Him and Jerry Walker, man. Like, I used to like those guys a lot. Like, those are the guys that I think about that didn't make it. I'll be like, yo, what the fuck happened to them?
Yeah.
You know, Crit, obviously, is still, you know, Big Sean, Final Fantasy 3. Finally Famous 3 is when I first discovered him. Because when I came back from the Navy, it's literally like being in jail. We don't have any access to the internet. So when blog rap exploded, we don't know anything about it. I just have the double XL magazines with like Wale on the freshman cover and shit. Like Wale is why I got the eggplant phones. Like that issue, he had the LRG spread.
Right.
And he's wearing the eggplant phones. And I'm like, these shits are fire. But mind you,
I should have known you were a criminal.
It's the phones. No, he's right. Phones. But in all fairness, it was 2010, 2011. Phones were acceptable.
Right.
They weren't what they are now.
Right. Yeah.
So, no, they're not acceptable anymore, Corey. Stop your shit. Stop your shit, bro. Stop your shit. But I see him in the LRG spread. I'm like, I got to get these shits. and I find them on the site and I go buy them. But yeah, it's like that was my introduction to that. So that how all that shit ties back, all that shit ties in. But like I never think about doing any of this. I'm like focused on being the next Kevin Hart. Like I'm going to be like I thought I was gonna be Kevin Hart so much that he was a part of my joke. Like I used to be like, you know, I'd come out, people introduce me, especially church people. They give you the best introduction claps ever. Like, they just love you so much. They don't even know you. So when I'll come out, I'd be like, you know, they'd introduce me. They'd be like, Mouse Jones. I'd be like, hey, how you guys doing? You know, I'm out here just doing my grind on this comedy stuff. You know, I just opened for Kevin Hart. And everybody would clap mad loud. Oh, we love him. They clap mad loud. And I used to let that clap sit. I was good for that. I was good. I'd let it sit. I'd be like, yeah. He was coming out the building. I opened the door for him or whatever. And it was a hit for them. You know, us who pay attention to comedy, we don't give a fuck about it. But, you know, I used to do shit like that. I used to be like, oh, yeah, you know, sorry I'm running late. Had car problems. Don't got one. That's my problem. You know, shit like that. And then just talk shit. Like, it literally became me talking shit because I couldn't write a set. I would literally just write good jokes and just, this is the set I'm going to run for this amount of time. And that's when I really started hating comedy.
Why? Like, because you saw it as a science?
I seen it as performing, and I don't like to perform. Like nothing I'm doing now am I ever performing. The camera comes on and I'm being me.
When okay, so I looked at I saw one like probably 5 minutes set, three minutes set that you did, and I was one surprised that you were a very physical comedian.
Yeah, had to be.
And so I was, and I was also surprised at, I guess I was pretty much.
That
I mean, like.
Laughed.
No, no, you want to know what, like, people were laughing.
No, that's why you were surprised.
No, I was surprised at how, like, I thought your haircut was fucked up.
Oh, yeah, I know what we're doing for my birthday. It's going to be me and Jeff, just joke off. Top billing.
Yeah, just boxing in the street.
So when do you, but if you don't like stand-up comedy, when does Twitter enter your life?
So I was always on Twitter.
Okay.
But it, obviously, you did your research. You know, it wasn't in a healthy way. And always, it wasn't in like a much. It wasn't like a curated way. It was like this is how we were talking to the 300 people that I knew.
Yeah.
Or maybe I knew 100 people, and like 300 came from. Maybe they seen me do a comedy set. Maybe they didn't. Maybe they seen a tweet that somebody retweeted.
By the way, I didn't read all your tweets. Don't like no, get gassed.
All right, Jesus Christ. Okay, this guy. But so Twitter was a weird place at that time because like celebrities were on it, and like they were like respond, but they would. That was the peak reaction era. So I remember I got Paul Kane, Fab's brother, to respond. Paul Kane responded, and I like dragged him. Like I roasted him for like 18 tweets. And he like followed me and like retweeted all the tweets. So like mad people followed me. So like they were, so that was the thing. Like I think I told him like he was like riding Fab's coattails like too hard. I said he looked like Kevin Hart. He liked Frank and Kevin Hart. That's what I said. And like that was the big one like he really liked. And I thought he was trying to line me because he'd always be like, oh, we over here, come over here. I'm like, no, I'm not gonna do it. Not gonna do it. Not nope, street fam's not gonna But so Twitter comes into play 2015 because now I kind of like, I guess, retire. I stopped doing comedy. Stopped. I was only doing the big church. I had a Mother's Day show that I did. 5 years, longest running like privately owned comedy show on Long Island ever. Numbers, like we packed that shit out. And we would do a Mother's Day weekend in the church, which is huge because if you know anything about, you know, black women in New York, in New Jersey, they go to Jersey to see that Steve Harvey shit, the celebration of gospel, every Mother's Day. So for me to be able to sell out a whole church and be in like an actual contract with them, that's big because that means they're not going to the Steve Harvey shit and they're coming to my shit.
And they're selling the tri-state,
You see what I'm saying?
Your face was big on the flyer.
You know, I don't like to brag or nothing, but you know, shout out to the flyers. I looked fat. Shout out to the hair. The hair came.
You retired, but you're strictly online now?
I was only doing, so I was actually, I got my GED.
Congratulations.
And I thank you. That was big for me. I got my GED and I was about to go, because I spoke to like a Navy recruiter about like what my options were like with education, because now I got two kids. I hate school. So if I use this GI Bill, that's it. They can't use it. So I just want to like defer it to them. What can I do? told me about this thing on Long Island called LIEOC, Long Island Educational Adult, some shit. And like you go to school for free and get like certification for certain shit. So I was thinking about, I was going to become a pediatric physical therapist.
Whoa.
Like right now, yeah, because my certification is from 2000, so it's still good. Like right now, I'm still like a physical therapy assistant. Like I'm certified. If I want to get a job as a physical therapy assistant, a physical therapy aide, I could.
Hmm.
In New York, in New Jersey, I could do that. So I was doing that, and I was like, I'm going to be a pediatric physical therapist. Like that's what I'm going to do. Like I tried this comedy shit. I don't like it. This shit is nothing. I had a conversation with my brother Alameen that I always talk about, and you know, I'll probably end up getting tattooed. Eventually, but I was talking to him. He's like, "Yo, what you doing with yourself?" Because he was still in the Navy, so you know we would lose contact sometimes. And I'm like, "Yo, I just, you know." He's like, "You still doing the comedy shit?" I said, "Nah, so I ain't doing that shit no more." He said, "What you doing?" I said, "I ain't doing shit. Like I'm about to just get back in the streets and, you know what I mean, figure out this school shit." And he was like, unbeknownst to him, I was already back doing street shit. I was already back doing stick ups and shit like that. And he was just like, "Yo, I'll never forget niggas asking me for your opinion on shit. Like niggas would come to the mess decks just to hear you talk shit. If you don't do something with that, I'ma snuff you." He's huge. You don't want to get hit by him. So he told me, he said, so I'm like, "What the fuck are you talking about? Like, what am I gonna do, nigga?" He was like, "Yo, you should be like Charlamagne." Like this one, Power 105, you know, the Breakfast Club. You could be like Charlamagne, you should be like them motherfuckers over there at Hot 97. You could be like, "Yo, do something, don't do nothing." And those words stuck out. And the next day, I like erased my whiteboard where I would write joke premises down. Mm-hmm. I never like wrote a joke. I would just write a premise and just like freestyle when I get out there. But I just know where I'm trying to get to.
Yeah.
Erased it completely and wrote two names. I wrote Free Lunch and I wrote He-Man Woman Haters Club. And I said, that's going to be one of these are going to be my podcast name. And I just started like writing what the podcast would be about and what we would talk about. And because at this time, I think a month before that, I had just found The Read. The Read's the first actual podcast I ever heard. Mm-hmm. So shout out to Kid Fury, Crystal. Like they are, like they're, I look up to them for real, you feel me?
Mm-hmm.
It was big to have Kid Fury on my show on BET. Like that was a moment.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's like full circles. The full, like even this now, like it's a full circle moment. You know what I mean? Like listening to y'all in like 2012, 2011 on blogs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And now I'm saying, like I really mean when I say like this shit, to me, this shit is like Letterman. In our culture, this shit is the Letterman. Like, you get like you don't not get here and be about something. You feel what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So you might have had some bozos up here before, but we'll let that go.
Talk about that off.
But yeah, so I wrote down He Man Woman His Club, and I just said
That comes from
The Little Rascals, my favorite movie.
Okay.
Little Rascals, Power Rangers, and ATL. Those are my three favorite. Like that's my top. There is no one. Like those are my.
And Free Lunch.
Free Lunch came from, so in the Navy.
Free Lunch came from when he was selling fish.
Free Lunch came from in the Navy, me and my boy Milk, who I don't know if you heard of the clothing brand, For Boston. It's IV, like the numerical number 4, mm-hmm, Boston, mm-hmm, which all the Boston like sports players and people wear.
Mm-hmm.
He's behind that. Milk was in the Navy with me and my brother Alameen.
Mm-hmm.
And we all were going to start a. And then we had this guy from Virginia. His name was Scratch. He was a DJ. Seely. Rob Seely. And that Seely actually does all the music for. He did both theme songs for the podcast.
Mm.
So his name on Instagram is Scratchzilla.
Mm-hmm.
So he was going to be the producer, and me and Milk was going to be the rappers. And we was going to be like gym class heroes.
Whoa.
Yeah, we were called Free Lunch. And we had wrote this song called Heart-Shaped Paperclip. And like we had like recorded it. Like I was like,
oh,
I was like
God,
draking all over this shit.
Oh my God.
This might be the most surprising thing I've ever heard.
Yeah. You're never going to hear it.
No, you have to play this.
No, you will never hear it. I don't have it.
Is it church friendly?
Yeah. No. Oh, no.
This
no.
is like when Who Kid came up here and he was like, yeah, I have a song where I'm rapping with
K-Sway
and stuff.
I will play you a song from when I was like 15 and I thought I was going to be like the next Joel Santana.
Mm-hmm.
And like I was like really rapping gun raps and shit like that. I'll play that.
I want to hear the heart shaped paperclip thing.
Heart shaped paperclip. I was like the original Drake, son. Just be honest. I was sing rapping, melodies on kill. Nigga was hitting. And we
that
just
was,
thought
that was Cutie Pie Mouse.
Yeah,
that's a fact. Yo, and we thought we was gonna do something with that shit. Like, thank God Scratchzilla lost that file. And
I don't think he did. Scratchzilla hit us up, DM us with the file.
Listen, if he got it, man, that shit'll probably go for some money soon, because damn, that shit's bad.
Just want to take 1 second to interrupt this second part of this two-part podcast with Mouse Jones to tell you guys that we have It's The Real, aka t-shirts, in purple or in black, available at itsthereal.com/shop. Jeff, we've sent them all around the country. I'm talking to Texas, to Georgia, to Florida, to Oregon, to Wyoming, to West Virginia, to Ohio, to New York, New Jersey. We've sent them up to Canada, out to London, to Washington, D.C. But here's what I want, Jeff.
To finish
Kansas today, I want to finish the map.
Yeah.
Let's get it done.
Wait, does that mean that, like, people who've already lived in other places that we've already sent it to, they can't buy it?
They can surely buy it. You can get it right now.
You can buy it. You can send it through states that we haven't buyers from.
That'd be crazy. I still want the final destination, though, to be in places like Alabama or Washington State. I'm surprised we haven't gotten any from Washington State yet. Nevada. Nevada? Nevada.
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 Nevada is how people say when they live there. You don't live there.
No, but I want these t-shirts to live in Nevada. So anybody down in Nevada, go to itsthereal.com/shop right now. Pick up a black AKA t-shirt. Pick up a purple AKA t-shirt. I believe we have one last Lakers t-shirt in large. We want to ship that somewhere besides California. Louisiana. How about Minnesota?
San Luis Obispo.
That's in California, right? itsthereal.com/shop is where you can get your It's The Real merch. And now, back to Mouse Jones.
We thought we were going to be like Gym Class Hero. Like, we were auditioning bands.
Oh my God.
Me and Milk, we were going to be the rappers.
Yeah.
Scratch was going to do the beats. I was going to be security, because he likes to fight.
Sure.
And, you know, Milk was like, I'm going to be the white boy. You're going to be the heartthrob, and we're going to get them. And I'm like, I don't know how I feel about you calling me the heartthrob. I don't like that. Yeah, you're too big and brolic for that shit. Like, Milk was the quintessential Navy guy who should have been Spec Ops, but wasn't. Like, he was like an engineer. I'm like, yo, you're mad. Like, you're a boxer. Like, you should. Why the fuck are you? All right, man. Whatever. But now he's a firefighter in Boston.
No, good for him.
And he's, you know, he runs that clothing brand for Boston, which is doing like big things in Boston. So
that's what's up.
Like that Patrick Ewing shit I posted, that was him.
Yeah, that's
like,
what's up.
Yeah, so you know they're doing a lot. Chris Herron fucks with him heavy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So they're doing like a exclusive like drop for that shit. So for Boston, although I'm from New York and I don't fuck with Boston outside of that and Cousin Stiz.
Yep.
Shout out to that.
So
shout out to Michael Christmas also.
You're
2015.
Yeah, 2015. Yeah.
This guy.
That's
when that guy comes into play.
Corey Towns.
That's when Corey Towns and Jameer Pond, two of my closest friends now, come into play, because I just start doing all the research and I'm like, I gotta start going back outside, because I haven't been like to a cultural, I call them cultural events. I don't call them parties and shit. I call them cultural events. Like,
so like Henny Palooza.
Henny Palooza, that's a cultural event.
Yeah.
These concerts,
SOBs.
These are all Santos. These are all cultural events. Like, and I'm like, all right, so if I'm gonna get this podcast to pop, this is how I gotta do it. I gotta get out there. So the first thing I go to is Henny Palooza at the Well. Now, before then, I hit Corey up. I follow Corey on Twitter. I forget how he comes across. Jamila Lemieux.
Think that Corey Towns comes across great.
Yeah, just fine.
Jamila Lemieux. Jamila Lemieux, I followed her. I always loved her mind. She's like one of the smartest women I've ever met in my life. Corey and her was working together. So I think she tweeted Corey one time.
Yep.
2015.
At Ebony.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, oh, let me see what this guy's about. So I follow. I see like sneakers. And, you know, he has mad followers. And he got a blue check. I'm like, all right, this dude. But he seemed accessible.
By the way, that's why I follow Corey too.
No, you're not. Not at the time.
Corey is a blue check.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, you know what? He posted a picture with a headband on. That's what it was. He had a Nike headband, and everybody in the hood at the time knew I was fucking with headbands heavy. Like, I was like I was working at Lidge at the time, part-time while I do the other shit, so it looked like I got a job. I would never, they used to get mad at me because I would never wear the hats. I'd always wear headbands. So, like, they made it a rule, like, mouse, if you're gonna be on the floor,
you gotta wear a hat. Didn't make it a rule for you. That's the store policy. Yeah. Like that is
that's
they
true.
They sell hats.
Listen.
They sell lids.
Shout out to them because that's why I had every single hat, and that's where I became like a hat stush over there. I was like, I don't wear anything but on field hats. I don't wear lifestyle hats. Fuck out of here. If the Yankees ain't wearing it, I ain't wearing it. What the fuck y'all think y'all doing? That's why I became a hat stush. Yeah. So shout out to everybody who came up to lids and got the hook up over there. And then, you know, I'm always a hustler. So, you know, I'm always thinking of how to get more money. Niggas showed me how to use the fucking the printing machine, like how to etch shit.
Mm-hmm.
I was doing fucking baseball jerseys for, like, kids in, like, Walt Whitman. Like, it was I was putting everything on a hat. Never charging people for it. Like, yeah, just give me 20.
Yeah, right?
Just give me 20.
Yeah.
But, so now I'm like, you know what? I start the podcast and I start doing test runs. My homeboy Bonzi comes into play. Bonzi's from Amityville on Long Island. And me and him meet through my co-host Reek. We're following each other on Twitter, and he hits me one day like, yo, we should start a podcast. I'm like, here goes the thing, I already have an idea for one. Just, he was like, oh, well, all right, cool, so we'll do that, and then I'll get the stuff. So every week I'm like, yo, where's the shit at? Because he was supposed to get the recording shit.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, you know what, fuck it, it's been 3 weeks, Bonzi. Like, what the fuck? I'm like, I'm going to hit somebody up and get a studio. And that's what I did. And then he's like, yo, son, you're one of the most efficient niggas I know. Nigga, we could have had. All right, man. So yeah. I was like, whatever. So, you know, my photographer, Chemist, he used to be a rapper. Well, he is a rapper. And he had a studio in his house, which was in Wyandanch. So everything coming full circle again. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But now we're all adults. Like, I see these guys at the barbershop. There's no smoke. Like, everybody's just like, you know, because at this point.
You're not throwing bikes at anyone.
No, no, I would, though. But, but you know, there was just certain guys you see at the barbershop, and everybody's like, listen, at this point, it's 2015.
Right.
We're grown-ass men. A lot of the kids, a lot of the people we were fighting with and fighting aren't here no more.
Right,
like, they're
right.
Dead. They're in jail. Like, what you want to do? I remember coming, like, yo, so, like, I remember seeing them all at the barbershop. I'm like, yo, I'm not about to be pussy. Like, I'm, what's up? Like, y'all got the same barber. He works at my uncle's shop. This is my uncle's shop. I'm not going to not come here. What are we doing? They was like, yo, man, that shit old. That shit done. We all grown men. Niggas see what you're doing. Like, niggas respect your comedy shit. Because that's what Long Island calls it, comedy shit. That's you do comedy one time, you're a comedian forever. And I was like, all right, man, appreciate it. I don't do comedy no more, whatever. So it was no smoke. So, you know, being able to go, like, that was just like a big stepping stone, just being able to go through Wyandanch and not have to look over my shoulder and be like.
Crazy.
So we get the recording, the He-Man Woman Hayes Club, we start doing test runs in Jordan's room, in his makeshift studio.
Yeah.
Literally, like a table that you would eat at.
Mm-hmm.
Pop that up, put up like two of these mics with no stand, and they just like would sit this way. And we're literally talking shit, trying to figure out what the shit is gonna be.
Yeah.
Before it was very topical. I'm always been a perfectionist. Like, I don't, cause I talk too much shit to come out half ass. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, before I release this, let's do some test runs. I've done comedy, you've done nothing. So we gotta make sure the shit is right. So I start building up, just emailing our friends.
Yeah.
All of a sudden that group grows and people are like, yo, we fucking with the show. When's the next one? I'm like, I bet, send it out again. So now we're doing these test runs all the way from January up until we went live in May. So that's how many months we did test runs, because I was like, no, we're not fucking this up. We are not. We can't. I took too much shit. Like, you know, I'm having my baby mother, I had to make the logo she made. So that, like, first logo you guys seen with, like, the spray paint that He-Man woman, my baby mother made that shit on, like, paint.
Whoa.
Yeah, like, that's that first one. So it's like,
wow.
Yeah, like, it was like a, like, everybody was in it. Like, it was an all-hands-on thing, you feel what I'm saying?
All hands on deck.
Yeah, like, Navy shit.
Like the Navy,
I'm sorry, there's certain terms I can't break, I'm sorry. but yeah, so, you know, everybody was in it, everybody believed. I'm like, all right, cool, so motherfuckers got the thing, all right. Then we added Reek, and, you know, we had Reek, and now we got three people, and we still don't know what it is, but at least it sounds like we're talking about something. May comes, we go live, we do, like, 100 listens maybe, and I'm like, because at this time Tax comes out,
yeah, and he's doing
his
numbers.
Oh my lord, I've never seen numbers like that.
Yeah,
out of the gate, never seen numbers like that since.
Yeah.
Combat, I'm looking at his numbers are killing the read. Oh my god, like, I want to kill myself every time I looked at. I literally only listen to the read on iTunes, so I can't see the numbers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
because that shit was just heartbreaking to watch my little 100 listen a week podcast against.
But when do you figure out the most important thing is to not care about the numbers?
Early on. Mm-hmm. Very early on.
It's super important.
Because I'm like the motivating I'm the driving force behind this podcast. Like, yeah, Reek is there, Bonji's there, but like, this is my brainchild, this is my baby. And for me to, like, you know, put these episodes together and who I want to talk to and who doesn't want to, I can't worry about what our number's gonna be. What we've always done, I don't know everybody else. I know what we've always done is we've always like doubled our numbers. So if we have like 50 subscribers to SoundCloud, we would do like 200 listens.
That's great.
So it was always like something let me know, like people are coming to listen to this.
Yeah.
And then I reach out to Corey. I reach out to a lot of people, actually. I reach out to Corey Towns.
Can you say how you did this?
The email?
Do you know? You don't remember the first thing you ever said to me?
Nah, I don't. I thought I emailed you to come on the show.
Okay, so no. So hi, Corey. Hi, guys. I've been sitting here listening. This is amazing because I do consider Mouse a good friend of mine. I feel like I've learned so much shit about Mouse in the X amount of time I've been here. Yeah. All right, so the first thing you have ever said to me, like ever, like you came at me, like hearing your story, this shit makes a lot of fucking sense now because of like, so it was at Henny Palooza at the Well.
Yeah. Mm.
This was back when I was one of the resident hosts of Henny Palooza.
Yeah.
And for whatever reason, I remember the outfit I wore. I wore a Michael Jordan jersey.
Mm-hmm. Which one?
I had a red Bull. Champion jersey.
Literally had the same Bull exact jersey. Thing on.
I had a Michael Jordan jersey and a red joint on.
Mm-hmm.
I had on like some cargo shorts, mm-hmm. Jordans, but I had a red headband
mm-hmm.
on.
And you had the gold joints on, the gold sneakers.
I might have my gold babes on. Might have my gold babes on. Actually, now I remember it. I think this was one of the Henny Paloozas that because I don't know who the fuck we thought we were. We had like outfit changes. So I remember like.
Yeah. Yeah, you did. Like you changed
the outfit I had on when me and him met mm-hmm. was the not outfit the outfit I had on. Because mm-hmm. I remember like that Henny Palooza in particular, like got was in like Complex or some shit. And I remember I had like a totally different outfit on in them pictures.
No, so, it was the stash did the
yeah. The stash was doing recap shit. They did like recap, a little yeah. step and repeat joint mm-hmm. at the Well. So I'm on stage.
Shout out to Kazim because that's the day I met New Day. You know, I love wrestling.
So I'm on stage, right, and. If you've ever been to the Well, like the stage is a solid stage, but it ain't unreachable. And I see this dude looking at me from the crowd, like almost on some shit, like everybody else is partying, listening to the music. And I just see this dude just looking at me. Now, a lot of times the Philadelphian in me comes out. I'm like, all right, who the fuck is this? And why I keep staring at me? Like, I have my friends are here. Like, right. If it's an issue, it could be an issue.
Let's go.
So
we're not in a barbershop.
Yeah. It is not Switzerland. We are not in a barbershop.
Mind you, it's peak Mouse Jones because I'm by myself.
He's by himself.
I've never been to a
Henny Palooza. He's by himself.
I don't even remember how I got a free ticket from somebody. Like I don't know anyone, mind you.
Yeah.
I got there, was prepared to pay at the door, and like the security guard was just like, yo, you good. Like, yo, you good. And I'm like,
So
I don't know who he thought I was.
Mouse from Newport, like,
right? He might have known me from Virginia. So, no, I don't know who he thought I was.
He was wearing his eggplant phone.
So I noticed him or whatever, and I'm just like, all right, you know, like keeping it real. Niggas do that shit at Henny Palooza all the fucking time. Mm-hmm. Just be looking on stage, looking to try to figure out ways to get on stage, like backstage, mm-hmm. all that shit. I don't know why, but fuck it. So I remember I came off stage for something. And he like, I hear like a, hey, my man. And I'm like, oh, it's time.
Right.
Like,
this is long before
like,
peace
he's
God.
Like, he's like, hey, my man, let me holler you for a second. So like, I come over and like, I'm a naturally just like a, like, I'm more cautious than I appear to be. But I'm naturally just like, oh, what's up, man? Like, what's up? So I was like, what's up, man? And he was like, yo, you Corey Towns, right? And I was like,
that's my accent.
I was like, yeah, that's the accent. I was like, yeah. And like, full transparency, I wasn't out here wilding back then. Like, I wasn't like, I'm like, was some joints like, nigga, something like, whatever. And he's like, yo, what's up, man? My name Mouse. And I was, first things first, you come at me with some shit like a nickname like fucking Mouse. And I'm like, what? So like, I'm like, all right, I'm thinking he's about to tell me some shit like, yo, can you play this? Like a suggestion to tell the fucking DJs some shit like that. Right. Cause that's what niggas would do.
Don't look at me like heart-shaped.
This. Don't look at me like that.
Yo, I was about to get heart-shaped paperclip.
Heart-shaped paperclips. But no, don't look at me like that. Over, but like, man. for some reason, people
stout the shit. And it's not
people will
out.
Come. People will come to an event, or people will come to a party as an event host. You can mm-hmm. confirm. Mm-hmm. They'll come to your party, And then they'll tell you what they want to hear.
Yeah. This happens all the
time. You know what I'm saying? Like, they'll be like, oh, yo, can you play Mac and Cheese 4? And you'll be like, this is not the function.
Is that a sub at us right
me.
Now?
Yeah,
it was right there.
Yeah, it's right here.
It was either that or a shot at New York at
that's
the time.
That's all you want
to hear. No. But I'm just saying, like, I'm like, bro, like, I understand that's
we
what
like
you want to listen
French
to,
Montana.
But like, if that's French. What you want to listen to, cool. But like, we're not gonna like, we may not play this in the party right now at 7 o'clock.
Right.
So
niggas
he's like,
niggas want to hear Finito in the entrance.
Yeah. So he's like, yo. He's like, yo, I'm Mouse Jones, and I'm like, what's up, man? I'm cool. Nice to meet you, bro. He's like, yo, I'm gonna come clean. I see you got the headbands and shit, and I fuck with that. He had a headband on, and I was just like, all right. Like, I'm like, okay.
From the waist up, we had the same exact outfit.
I'm like, okay, solidarity is black men. So I'm like, oh yeah, for sure, man. But then he said, yo, like, I see what y'all niggas is doing, and I'm coming for everything y'all got. I swear to God, on everything I love, that is the first thing Mal said to me. And I'm kind of just like, the fuck? Like, how the fuck you compliment me and then tell me some shit like that? And I'm just like, oh, all right, fam, like, yeah, nice to meet you.
Yeah, exactly.
And that was it. I go back on stage, I go about the rest of the night, and then a couple days later, maybe like a week or 2 weeks later, I get an email about like, yo, come on my podcast.
Yeah.
And Mouse has been a fucking thorn in my life ever fucking since.
Yo, it's crazy.
I would say he's been a heart-shaped paperclip.
Son of a bitch.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny, like, that's literally probably been my interaction with everybody in this, right? Like,
I'm coming for your spot.
And it's not, and people get it mixed up because it's not like me doing it out of a, I want to fight way. It's just like, yo, I'm just letting you know, like, I did that to everybody that night. Chris Styles, Low Key, whoever was a host that night. I think I even said it to Goose. Like, I even think I said to Goose, the nigga that hosts for Genius. So you fast forward a couple months. Mouse is at his first South by Southwest.
Mouse is now talking in the third person.
Okay.
He may not have a verified, account, but
no, I don't have that. was it A3C or was it South by? It was A3C. I'm at my first A3C.
So in Atlanta.
I'm at my first A3C. Chris Casanova, who has, you know, become a friend. Like, he's like family at this point.
Yeah.
We literally met through his cousin, LeVan, who's the artist.
Mm-hmm.
Me and LeVan are both from Long Island. LeVan's very cool with my little cousin. So we met that way and just always. So when LeVan did his first art show, Chris performed. His manager, sees me just aimlessly walking around A3C. He's like, oh, Mouse, come on now, come on. Gives me a pass and all that shit. So now, like, this pass, I'm good everywhere, which is literally the worst thing you should have gave me. So they're doing the BT, whatever stage they're doing that Friday. I hear just an, am I going to say this? Yeah, I'm going to say this here. I hear an annoying voice on stage. I'm like, who the fuck is this corny nigga on stage? I'm like, what the fuck is this? I come on stage. Yo, my name Ronnie Rakai. This is BT. Da 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 da. I'm like, this nigga's trash. But keeping in the Mouse Jones thing, gotta shake hands. And like, I heard Charlamagne say that one time, and I utilize it. I walk in the room, I shake hands, smile, make sure everybody knows who I am. Even if I don't talk anymore past that point, come and shake hands.
Mm-hmm.
I want everybody to know I'm here. Rodney comes off stage. I walk up to Rodney. I'm like, yo, what's going on? It's just like I did Corey. Yo, what's good, my man, Mouse Jones? He's like, yo, what's good? Nice to meet you. He's mad nice. I look at it now, and I'm like, yo, I'm a dickhead. Like, he's mad. Corey's shaking his head because he's heard the story through. And so I shake his hand, and I'm like, yo, I'm Mouse Jones. He's like, yo, nice to meet you, man. I say, yeah, I just wanted to let you know. You know, I just want you to see the nigga that's about to take your job.
Yikes.
Yeah. He was like, yo. You know, he's like
the last thing you see.
Yeah, he's like, and he's like, he looks at me and he's like doesn't know if I'm laughing. Joe, he's like, I'm too good, baby. And I'm like, all right. And I walk off. Rodney's never spoken to me since. Like, he feels away. It's all right. I did what I said I was gonna do anyway.
What you've achieved in the last year, in particular.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
You've had this like rise. You decided what you wanted to do, and then you took off.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's all because, you know, you guys not being afraid. Like, I owe a lot of wins to just people not being afraid to stand next to me. You feel what I'm saying? Like, Low Key, no matter what issue we've ever had in private, you'll never hear me say a bad thing about Low. I love that. Like, I love Low the same way I love you guys, same way I love Corey, like, as brothers. Like, if somebody violates Low, they gotta see me. You feel what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Because Low Key did something that he didn't have to do. That night at Henny Palooza is when I decided, because at first I just wanted to be a media personality.
Mm-hmm.
That night is when I decided, yo, I'm going to be the best host in New York City. Like, this right here, I will body this shit. Watching him do it, I said, I'm going to do that. And I don't even know that I said something too low about it specifically. I remember I went to that Henny Palooza. I went to the in-house. Shout out to Sinead Curry and Cleverly Chloe, like, which was like a week
shout
later.
Shout out to Chloe.
Big shout out to Chloe.
Went to their shit and was like, and that was when I like made my introduction to like the underground, and literally through introduction, seeing Trey Pizzy, who's in, you know, he's in the news nowadays.
Yeah.
You know, seeing Trey Pizzy, recognized him, you know, cause he had the My Town record. And I was like, let me go introduce myself to this nigga. Like, he's the biggest, like, he's the people clamoring over. Like, he's the people that everybody's clamoring over in this room. I walked through everybody. All, you know, all the Broken Trippy teams, you know, a whole bunch of Crips over there. I walked through him, and I walked to Trey Pizzy. I shake his hand, and I talk to him. And I'm just talking to this nigga for like 3 minutes. And I have this thing, you know, it's a part of my arsenal. Like, I have the thing where I'm going to talk to you, and everybody's going to think I know you. You might not, like, we're going to have a whole conversation. People might think we know each other for mad long.
And it's all about perception.
It's all about perception. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's what I was able to weaponize. Because the minute I walked away from Trey Pizzy, everybody wanted to know who I was. Who was this guy talking to Trey Pizzy for so long? Why is he so important? Oh, and then, you know, got some followers on Twitter. I think I like finally broke 1,000 or something. And I had created the hashtag Mouse Choose You. So, like, I love Pokemon. And it was just like my way of like shouting out, like discovering underground rap.
Mm-hmm.
So I would do it like every day, like just like 3 or 4. And like people were like clamoring, yo, can I get a Mouse Choose You? That's not how that goes. It's not how that goes, because if I don't choose you, you choose it. It's not how that goes. You're going to ruin the credibility. But, you know, just doing my thing, going out, hosting. Somebody booked me to host an event, like an art show, entertainment mixer. And I did it. And it was at this spot, like right around the corner from Blue Ribbon. I don't know what area is that. That's LES.
Oh, right, yeah.
There's a few blue ribbons. Well, the one right there over there by Houston.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's a spot. I think the spot's called Element. I think that might be the name of the spot.
Mm-hmm.
So the sound system's terrible.
Yep.
And I'm struggling. Low-key pulls up. And I don't know if he pulled up because he seen me posted on Twitter, which I doubt it. I think he pulled up because his homegirl was, like, in the art show.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm up there struggling over the sound. I'm like, what the fuck? The sound is terrible. And they're like, there's no shifting. Like, it's only on one line.
Yeah.
And he comes up and he gives me like some on the play, like some like on the field coaching shit. And from that moment, I was like, he didn't have to do that. And he's done that every step of my career. Like, even when we didn't agree with each other about certain things, and there was like some small behind the scenes tension, mm-hmm. low key never. Like, not saluted, never not gave me words of advice that would help me in the long run, not benefit him in some type of way. Like, the same shit Corey's done. Corey's talked me off of ledges multiple times, especially in that time where I felt like I was doing a lot and not getting nothing in return. And I was just like the nigga where I was not the person you guys would invite to your house now. I was like, yo, if a nigga say something to me sideways, I don't care about none of this Twitter shit. I'm coming to see him. And I did that multiple times. And Corey and Chris, to both of their credit, both been like, listen, dog, like, you don't gotta do that no more. Like, this is some industry shit. Like, this shit is like wrestling. This shit is smoke and mirrors, dog. Like, they are playing a role. So if you fall for it, you only got yourself to blame. And I always kept telling myself, like, you can't be the nigga that had a hot summer. Like, you can't be the nigga. Like, I don't ever want to be the nigga that had a hot summer, and then people 10 years and now, like,
right.
Whatever happened to that guy?
Remember him?
Yeah. He could have did something, but he fucked up, and now he's in jail for doing some dumb shit. So I'm still trying, you know, fight with myself about, like, reactions and, mm-hmm. like, how I handle certain situations. But, like, just having people like you guys around where I watch how y'all interact, and it's like, to be behind the villain, know, like, the hate or the shit that y'all deal with and don't react to. I'm like, all right, if they good, then I could deal with a motherfucker saying, fuck you, Mouse, you're not funny.
Well,
you were the worst part of that podcast.
I would like to apologize for saying that in that voice.
It's fine.
But I think what's remarkable, and I've told you this in person too, is that so you had a job at MTV. And
yeah, shout out to TRL. Shout out to Andrew Goldstein.
And that was a steady paycheck.
Oh, my Lord.
You were in 1515 Broadway.
Oh, my Lord.
Again, perception's everything. Mm-hmm. It may not have been like the dream job, but it was
a dream job. Let's get that understood now. That was a dream job. I just didn't know it was my dream job. That was the first job I had in this industry.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So to come from nothing, to be a high school dropout, literally a street nigga, when I said I'm going to leave this alone and start doing this. Sleeping on my brother's couch all of 2015 and 2016 in Jersey City. When he was too tired to get up because he worked, you know, he was becoming a firefighter in Jersey City. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if there was times where we were just too late, he'd be knocked out. He might be drunk or something. I'd have to sleep in a PATH station. Mm-hmm. Like, all that shit culminated to that one opportunity at MTV.
Which is crazy.
Working for TRL, like,
yeah,
off of a introduction and a handshake. Literally, and it's funny, he's sitting right here now. The email I got, so I just came back from Miami because up until that point, the biggest thing I did was hosting the Day 26 concert. I hosted the Day 26 reunion concert. Like
At Highline.
Like, yeah. Not the bullshit that they're doing now. Mm-hmm. Not the, hey, they're back together. No, yeah. It was very the real. One, the 10-year, they ain't did shit together since.
Yeah.
Mouse Jones is hosting that. And I told the guy, I said, yo, I want to bring my homegirl Chloe on.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, all right, cool, that's great. So I brought Chloe on, and we fucked that shit. We had great times. The crowd was good, but that was the biggest thing I did. That was the biggest look I had. Outside of, you know, you guys coming on the show was big. I felt like that kind of solidified the show. Sue Surf coming on right before you guys solidified the show.
Yeah, but then you started getting, like, DeRay.
Yeah, but that was after. That was long. That was, like, a year and a half after the fact. You guys came on. Sue Surf came on. I think Rob Markman was big.
Lowe was on right before
you. And Kaz,
which
was a great episode because, mm-hmm. you know, that told our story and how we met and where we're now.
Mm-hmm.
I definitely wouldn't do that I wouldn't do that episode again. you know, got a few phone calls from a few people and had to sit in some office and answer some questions. but, you know, that plus, you know, being on, you know, social media, son, like, the shit's weird because you could get a look and it be a look, but it not really be a look. So, like, being on tax season, even though I had a relationship with tax already, being on tax season, right. And then Charlamagne hearing me and tweeting about, yo, I don't know who the mouse kid is, but that nigga, you know, he gets it. He sounds like he gets it. And then everybody rushing to Twitter and adding, oh, his name is this, his name. And then, like, him following me. That was a look. You guys follow. Oh shit, it's the real followers. Yo, like, I've literally been in places and people be like, yo, it's the real followers. I'm like, I don't know who follows me. I don't know who follows me. So it's like, you feel what I'm saying? It's like those weird instances, all those are looks. Oh, you're cool with Corey Towns. Da 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 da. It's just my friend, man. Like, I'm not looking at it like that. But then I start, when the pieces start coming together later on down the line, where I come back from Miami and I'm just laying in bed. I'm like, you know what, man, this shit I tried, bro. And there's some bullshit. I'm getting back to what I know how to do. Literally was my words to myself. And I just happened to check my email. And there's an email from a guy named Andrew Goldstein.
Shout out to Andrew.
I love that guy. Mm-hmm. Shout out to Andrew Goldstein. Love that guy, like, so much.
Mm-hmm.
There's the email reads, literally, the subject line says, got your information from Kazim and Corey Towns. So now I'm like, get the fuck out of here. So I text Corey. I'm like, if somebody hit you up about me, like, and I text Kaz, because at this time, like, me and Kaz are night. I fuck with Kaz. Like, that's my guy. I fuck with Kaz a long way. Like, I'll text him just for no reason. Yo, what's good? You good?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I could tell certain people aren't used to that because I'll be like, yo, you good? Like, even with Corey, like, I'll be like, yo, you good? Yeah, nigga, what happened? I'll be like, nothing. I'm just make sure you good. Like, so, you know.
Yeah, but you approach Corey with the wrong energy.
To him, it was the regular energy to me. And so,
taking
like.
Your job.
Yeah. So, Kaz, I hit him. I was like, yo.
And your headband.
Yeah. No, he stretched it out. Corey got big ass fucking head. And so I was like, so I had Kazim and Corey them day. I was like, yo, like, y'all niggas said, like, who is this? Is this real shit? And they was like, yeah, this some real shit. Like, all right, cool. So I go in to meet the nigga, and he's basically like, hey, listen, so, you know, the show's made a pivot. Lies. Made a pivot to more hip hop, and we need a voice of the culture. I kept asking around. I kept hearing your name. Kazim and Corey both, you know, spoke highly of you. So, you know, that's why you're here. And I'm like, all right, cool. What you want to do? He was like, We're gonna bring back TRL. And I had to, like, think, like, what? Mouse Jones about to work on TRL? Like, as what? And he's like, you know, we can't use certain terms, obviously. I was a creative consultant, which is really Spanish for writer. But you can't say that. So I was a creative consultant over there. Well, yeah, so, you know, a lot of dope ideas. You know, I was very integral in, you know, getting A Boogie his first TV look.
Nice.
The Rock, Paper, Scissors thing that's doing numbers, that was me.
Yep.
An idea that came from me, this guy Nick Maritato, and Brian Mann, who now works with Andrew over there for Open Late.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So at Complex with at Peter Complex, Rosenberg.
Yeah, with Peter Rosenberg. Yeah. So you know, shit like all the fun shit that was us.
But I think but here's what's most remarkable about the whole thing.
Right.
Is that you're a behind the scenes guy over there.
Mm-hmm.
And
it was getting sucked into it too. Like it was like felt like I was like becoming a part of the behind the scenes.
But you know what though? Regardless of how you were treated over there, mm-hmm. regardless of what you made happen over mm-hmm. there, the fact is the show ended.
Yeah.
And that could have been you yeah. could have sunk. Mm-hmm. Could have been curtains.
Yeah.
And you didn't.
No, no. BET came I did like a lot of shit with BET on like free shit and just like interstitial shit. Like, hey, we have this idea. We like what you do on Twitter. Can you come in and shoot this? And I did a show with BET, which is where me and the other guy issue started. We had a there was a show called The Double Standard, and they made me like I was the only recurring guest that wasn't at BET. So it was like a social thing that they were trying to get off the ground. And like I came in and I was working it. They loved it. But for whatever reason, it didn't go past like the 5 episodes that they did. But now the team knew who I was. So literally like when we all found out that TRL was ending, my management had hit me. Shout out to Max October and, you know, Kristen Myers and Lauren Gaspino. They hit me like, yo, Max hits me and it says, yo, what's your deal with TRL? I'm like, that shit's over. He was like, well, BET wants to meet you. They want to discuss some shows with you. So I'm like, all right, cool. So I walk in there. And at this moment, I don't like have nothing to lose because I'm like, you're going to say no? So like, because I'm like, TRL ended. All this good money. It's over. Now I got to go back to being this Twitter nigga. Like, oh, fuck. Like, what the fuck? And I'm sitting there with Tatiana, the head of digital at the time, and she's like, you know, what could we get from, you know, working with you? And I flat out say, listen, I could bring BT back. This shit is trash right now. It's my words verbatim. She's like, okay, so you're right. So she was like, all right, so you're right. So we need an opinion and da-da. So she was like, you know, can you come in and pitch like 3 shows next week? I said, yep. In my mind, I'm like, I'm giving y'all motherfuckers 10.
Yeah.
So I didn't say anything to anybody. I told my management and that was it. Didn't tell nobody else. Went home and like I had these shows already written out, so I just brought them and put them on like a one sheet. And I came in there and there's me, that the two heads of social, which is Ken and Tatiana. There's somebody else. There's my producer now, Kira Barnett. And we're all sitting there and I'm like, I was waiting for this shit. I got my laptop and I'm like, I got this fucking dinosaur Mac that sometimes it just decides to like be slow. So I was like, ooh, motherfucker, if you fuck me over today,
you're
going off of this fucking 33rd floor. I tell you that right now. So we're sitting there and they're like looking at me like with this look like, what the fuck this hood ass motherfucker guy, because they've done their research as well. So they're like, what the fuck this hood ass motherfucker gonna tell us? So I the very first show I pitch is I'll Apologize Later. Very first thing. And their eyes open, big mouth man. Watering. But you know, they gotta, you know, you gotta keep your poker face on.
Yeah.
So I now go through the 10 other shows as a professional presenter.
Yeah.
I'm like, and the demographic is here and the core audience is this. And
physical comedian.
I'm really selling it. And they're like, eyes wide open now at this point, because they're like, obviously they must have just thought I was somebody who couldn't articulate and couldn't come in and be, even to the point where my producer was like, yo, I didn't know how serious you took this shit. I thought you were just gonna have some shit written down. I'm like, nah, like to me this was the opportunity that I've been waiting for, because TRL wasn't the opportunity I've been waiting for. That was an opportunity I did not see coming, didn't know what happened,
that you took.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that you had to take.
Yeah.
It ran.
Yeah.
And this was the opportunity I've been waiting for. To work with a brand that I've said since I was a small child watching 106 in Park in North Babylon, like, I'm going to be AJ. I'm going to be free.
Say, I'm
going to
take your job.
I just didn't get to meet them. I did get to meet AJ Calloway on the red carpet of
BET.
No.
No?
It was what was the, what now? For Kevin Hart.
Oh.
He did a red carpet for that. Shout out to Blogzilla. Blogzilla is somebody very integral in my career as well.
I was going
to
say we haven't shouted out Blogzilla.
Yeah, I got to shout, out Blogzilla. Without him,
And by the way, he's definitely listening.
He's definitely listening. Yeah. Oh, no. I got to make sure I get my shout out. So, yeah. Without him and without VH1 Digital, I don't know how things look. Because they were the first person to put me on camera.
Yeah.
So, Social Dakota was big. To the point where people thought I worked at Global Grind. Mm-hmm. And I was getting hosting jobs. And it was like, of Global Grind. I'm like, hey, whoa. I don't work there.
Right.
But people
as
thought,
seen on.
Yeah. As seen. Yeah. Right. Because, you know, I did literally every episode. From the day I came on, there was not a Social Dakota I missed. And then doing the.
Perfect attendance.
Only time.
Yeah.
Only time I didn't, drop out.
But it's so important to have taken those opportunities and to have nailed the.
It wasn't even a fact of taking. It was like, this is the opportunity. This was the one. I was watching Social Dakota and I'm like, yo, this is going to be the first thing I do. And then a week later, Blogzilla calls me to do Social Decoded. Same thing with VH1. I was like, yo, I got to work with VH1. Like, this has to be something I could do with VH1. And the next thing you know, I get a hit up.
Basketball Wives.
That's later on down the line. I definitely will be on an episode. No, shout out to Heather Haynes and the Remy Williams and the digital team. Orlando Lima, who was over there at the time, which ended up being my boss later on. Shout out to... Y'all need to have OJ on. His story.
Yeah.
OJ
yeah.
Lima.
Yeah.
Like, his story, insane. Yeah. Like, everybody else, when that TMZ shit hit about TRL, they complained. You'll never hear a complaint out of me. I was working with Sean Malcolm, who aided in my perversion as a child with all those King magazines.
Yeah, right.
I'm working with OJ Lima, Remy Williams, me and DC Young Fly, because... Mm-hmm. They thought I was going to be the DC Whisperer. I was the only black guy in the think tank. And so, you know, any idea for DC, Mouse, can you go pitch it to him? Me and him got cool. So shout out to that. There was a lot of connections I made there. You guys have been in these think tanks. So there's the stress of that. But outside of that, man, that shit was amazing for me. A guy like me.
But here's the most important thing. Again, you could have just given up. You could have said, well, there goes that whole opportunity done, and you didn't. Yeah. And you know, we saw it. I'm sure other people saw it. You may not have seen it. You've said to me, you're like, I nothing was a short thing.
Yeah.
You've come back. You've rebounded.
Countless times.
Incredibly. With the BET shit.
Yeah, shout out to BET, yo. That's like four times at this point.
The Open Late.
Shout out to Rosenberg.
Peter Rosenberg.
Rosenberg fucks with me genuinely. Like, I'm the only person to be on there.
You were the first person to, return on the panel.
I've been on there three times.
It was unreal. And deservedly so. It was like, it wasn't just like, oh, let's get him back. This was.
Yeah, like, it never felt like that. Like, it never. Yeah.
Yeah.
And, like, it's very weird. And shout out to Mac Wilds, is another person I got to shout out.
Huge.
You know, for putting me in, you know, after hours.
Yeah.
And like, just becoming my friend. Like, become my actual
friend.
Real
life friend. Yeah.
Like, that's my real life friend. Like, he like thinks he's a member of the He-Man Women's Club podcast.
I thought he was.
He is, but he's never here. So
yeah.
It's just like when he's in town. We say that to, you know, make it feel special. But no, like, I love Mac. Mac's my brother. Like, our families know each other. He's met my kids, things of that nature. So it's like, shout out to him, because he didn't have to, like, he just, like, there's this, like, even with you guys here, like, there's this dope part where we, as creatives, have this part to like create opportunities for people we deem worth it and our friends, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's like he had that movie that's being funded by Roc Nation. It's your first thing going out with them, and it's like you decided to write a scene or write a character for me.
Yeah,
yeah.
Not knowing what the fuck was gonna happen, never seeing me act on camera before. You know, people say, "Oh, Mel stole the show." I didn't know that was gonna happen. I certainly didn't think that was gonna happen. I wasn't betting on that, but. For you to have that eye and to have that faith. It's literally blind faith at that point.
Mm-hmm.
Which is why I love Janae Brown and Kim Chanel so much for making me and Julius the official host.
Shout out to Kim Chanel.
Yeah. She's at Audio Mac. She's somebody like from the mud with me. Like, we literally didn't have shit 2 years ago. And like, it was a very surreal moment at Rolling Loud while I'm sitting on the Audio Mac bus with her at her Audio Mac curated stage. Like, son, you remember in 2015, like, you remember that shit, like, we didn't have nothing. So it's like, all this shit is like, BT, yo, people say whatever they want. I'm never going to speak bad about BT, because they gave me an opportunity to make good on every promise I made, and they put so much behind me. It's literally, once again, blind faith. Like, I'm at the you know, they sent me to the BET Awards. I'm doing the radio room. I'm doing my show in the radio room, which mm-hmm. is super fun. I'm talking to Otis Williams, and he's talking shit about David Ruffin. And like, so shit is amazing, son. Like, so I'm asking Jay Prince, did he have any fatherly advice for Drake? Mm. Like, I have Jay Prince laughing about this very serious situation that everybody else in the radio room was scared to ask.
Right.
I'm the only person with, like, a full set out there. I got people asking questions from a do-rag. Like, mm-hmm. like just being getting to be me.
Yeah. And,
like,
and then you hosted in front of 18,000
people. So I was only supposed to do the convention center. Which I did. Shout out to Vince Swan. He was my co-host. And we did that. And we did, like, I called it, like, the Young Nigga concert. Because it was, like, Trippy Red and T Grizzly and all them. And like, I guess the way the kids responded to me was, like, I guess France, you know, the head over there, the head of the BET Experience, he's like, oh, there's something there. Mm. So I'm at the radio room. I get a call from Max. And he's like, hey, you're not, Max, my manager, because he was out there. He's like, hey, you're not doing the convention center. I don't know what the fuck is going on, but you're not doing the convention center. I'm like, what the fuck? Like, I'm paid to do the convention center. So I want to make sure, like, I'm still getting paid.
Yeah.
He hits me back, like, nah, don't worry about you getting paid. I'm talking to France right now. I literally get a call as I'm interviewing. It was somebody important, because I literally walked off the interview. Like, they had just sat down.
Off the interview?
Like, they had just sat down.
Supposed to be the other way around.
Kenny Lattimore. Kenny Lattimore sits down, and Max called me. I'm like, I got to take this. Like, please. All right. But for little pre-story, I had got it. Shout out to all the label connects I had. Or shout out to all the label people I have that fuck with me. Shout out to Baroline over there at Def Jam.
Yeah. Yep.
Shout out to Brittany over there at Capitol. Shout out to Nidra at Capitol.
Yeah.
Shout out to Imani and them over there at Universal. Like, mm-hmm. there were a lot of people that other places couldn't get that I was getting just based off of my good relationships with them.
Yeah.
And then people seeing those interviews and seeing how much fun everybody was having, to the point where, like, people's PRs and handlers were like, can we come? Like, they want to come over now. Like, literally, yeah. artists are waiting. Like, yo, can we? Like, actual artists, not, yo, how the fuck you get in the radio room? Yeah. Like, people that other people are clamoring for, they're sitting like, yo, can we come over? And, like, just sitting in that moment, it's literally me, my DP, and my producer, and they're like, this isn't real. Like, this doesn't happen. I'm like, I guess, I don't know. Like, I'm just talking shit. And so I walk away, take the call from Max, and Max is like, yo, you ready? I said, ready for what? He said, you're doing the Staples Center tonight. Doing what at the Staples Center? Like, because at the Staples Center has been where all the big concerts have been.
Right. Yeah.
Like, there's been the Coca-Cola stages and all the mini.
Yeah.
The big concerts have been... Full circle. LL Cool J performed Friday night. Chris Brown and LMA and Teyana Taylor did Saturday.
Yeah.
And then the concert I'm hosting, YG, Meek Mill, Ray Shrimmer, I'm forgetting some people. They'll be all right. They're millionaires. But I hosted. And they're calling. He's like, yo, you doing 18,000? I said, nah, hell no. And
were you ready for that?
No. No, I'm not ready to host a Staples Center. I've never seen a Staples Center before in my life. I never... Yo, I had shout out to Isis over at Bleacher Report, because mm-hmm. she got me into
Kobe Bryant.
You know, shout out to Magic. Shout out to Magic. You know, Shaq, those guys.
Yeah. LeBron.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, I never been in the Staples Center. Like, so to get there and to get this, oh no, we go in the side, and then you get in the fucking golf cart and they take you through the fucking tunnel. I'm like, oh shit, Kobe did this shit. And then you get there and Live Nation knows your name and they're like, hey, we're ready for you. And now, mind you, up until this point, up
you
until
were
we
on
get
the
there
gang list.
Yeah, by the way, who would have thought that two guys who were known for breaking and entering would have been on that same stage that night? You and YG.
Who would have known? Who would have thunk it? And the shit, so mind you, the whole time I'm thinking I'm gonna have a co-host. Mm-hmm. I'm like, there's no way I don't have a co-host. Probably Vince from last night. Like,
you did have a co-host.
The God. Lord above.
God. Oh yeah. Yo, this became the blackest podcast I've ever been on just now. There's no podcast I've ever been on been that black. That was blacker than 3 a.m. on BET.
Yeah, I'm not gonna lie.
That was pretty black. You weren't there by yourself. God. You were God.
Yeah.
But God.
But yeah, like, up until that moment, you know, shout out to Shelby. Shelby's a great lady. She had me extremely prepared, because a lot of it was just a lot of yes, all right, yeah. No, okay, because I'm like, I'll figure this out. I'm not going to fuck this opportunity up. She's telling me about it. She's like, all right, so when you, the fuck me? I said, well, what the fuck calls? Who the calls? The DJ? I said, no, it's just you. And she just walked off. Mm. And it's like one of those movie moments where, like, everything got very tunnel. I'm like, just me? Say less. And I looked at Max and I said, I'm going to fuck this shit up. Mm. That's me still talking shit. And then we go see the stage. And they're like, okay, so the stage is going to turn. I said, what the fuck? No, hold on now. I ain't never been on no turning stage. Let's fucking relax. Yeah. I don't got no insurance.
A lot of firsts. Yeah,
a lot of firsts. And then you go around. So we come through the back of the main stage. So you just see like you see the big graphic, the big LED screen. Mm-hmm. And you can't see anything in front of it because it's that big. So I'm walking around and I start taking in these empty seats. And I think I literally counted 18,000. That's 1,000 right there. Yeah.
Statistics.
Yeah. It was some kind of fucked up math. In my mind, it seemed like a million. Yeah. Mm-hmm. If you would have asked me then, it was a million. And mind you, this is all within 2 hours of notice. Like, I was told I'm doing this within an hour.
Yeah.
So I'm like, got to get here, which is not that far. I think I had enough time to leave the radio room. Nope, sure didn't. I went to the radio room, left the radio room with the Capitol people. You know, they did a little, got some food. And walked right over to the Staples Center. So I'm there and I'm like, all right. They're all empty seats, Mouse. You're good. Go back, get some tea. Go back. And now that shit piled up so fucking fast. I was like, were these tickets free? Like, where did all these people come from? My stupid ass go out there and I say some dumb shit like, no, because Max told me, he's like, yo, get them to engage with you on social media. I said, all right. I didn't know what the fuck I was doing. I go out there, I'm like, yo, if you follow me on Instagram right now and tag me, I'm going to shout you out. Didn't think that was going to work. I go on stage, go off stage. You know that little tab in your DMs where it says other?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It was literally like 99 plus. Ugh. So I click it, and I'm like, and it says Tallahassee, LA, Inglewood. I'm like, oh, hell. So I did my best to shout everybody out, but that was a good night, and especially towards the end when I got to do what it is that I do, like, you know, drop some music with the DJ and really get the crowd to party.
Heart-shaped paperclip.
Yeah, yeah. We dropped it like 3 times. We ran that shit back, dropped one. But yeah, that was a big moment. So shout out to, I say all that to say, thank you to BET. Thank you to the culture just as a whole for, you know, even if you don't fuck with me, it, for the people that whose skin it gets under to see me winning, I appreciate you too. Because, you know, there's not a lot of opposition out here. There's just not. Like, there's not a lot of opposing views. So I never get mad when people say, oh, you remind me of a Tax Stone, or oh, you remind me of a younger Charlemagne. Those guys fuck with me hard, the long way. Like, those are some OGs, and they took me under the wing, and they fuck with me. And I don't think they would do that if I was a copycat. Right. You know what I'm saying? So what I say to that, when I say that, I'm like, there's not a lot of opposition. There's not a lot of opposing views. There's not a lot of people in the industry that'll say, hey, I don't like this. They usually get relegated to Twitter, and everybody calls them a hater or troll account. Or they're usually somebody who shouldn't be talking about this shit in the first place. Like, what's the nigga name?
Jeff Rosenthal.
No, you deserve it.
Mouse. I think that what's incredible is not just from where you came to your entire journey and to your persistence and your diligence and your intelligence. I think the most impressive thing is that regardless of whether it was your creases or the way you moved guns, you were always nice with the iron. You know what I'm saying? Mouse, yo, thanks so much for coming through.
Nah, thank you guys.
Congratulations.
I appreciate you guys. So before we leave, let me thank you guys. I want to thank you guys. I want to thank the Grapevine, Social Dakota, Blogzilla, Low Key, Corey Towns, Jameer Khan, Scotty Bean. I'm trying to think who else gave me an opportunity when like you shouldn't have. Who? God, Mac Wiles. Yeah. God. Shout out my brother Alamine for threatening me. Well, we wouldn't be here. Shout out to. We have to get this correct. Not Q. Quentin. Fuck Quentin.
Now, you said even those who don't wish you the greatest thing.
Reek, shout out my co-host on the He-Man Woman Hits Club, Reek. The monotone poppy. like his voice, like it's so annoying, son. It's so annoying. I talk to this nigga.
He's such a good
like he's literally one of my close friends. He's like I talked to him at least once a week for the past 5 years, but like oh my god, it's like there's never no inflation in the okay. But yeah, shout out to him.
Shout out to the landlord in Virginia.
Shout out to you were a rat. Shout out to Capital Cuts though. Shout out to Capital Cut. Shout out to Rick, who owned the Capital Cuts I worked at. Shout out to the whole Norfolk. Shout out to all y'all motherfuckers, man.
Shout out to the barbershop.
Shout out to the barbershop.
Murder Inc. 3. And 1 and 2.
Shout out to all the bitches in Dubai.
Shout out to...
I had no bitches in
Shout
Dubai,
out to Pathmark.
Shout out to Pathmark. Because one thing about it is, without Pathmark, I'm not here. Because I would have nowhere to steal my magazines from. Yeah, man. You should steal magazines out of Pathmark. Corey, you know this. I stole all my Double XL.
Yeah. You do everything on your own.
Yeah. Nah, man. Corey, coming down with me, man.
It's a wrap.
You guys think Corey Towns is such a good guy. Yeah. No, not wiggly. Yeah. No, but I definitely thank you. I really do mean from the bottom of my heart. Brent Idiots is Leno. You guys are Letterman. I feel like you go to these and you've done your podcast round. You don't really have to go anywhere else. I honestly don't think there is anywhere else to go. At this point, I think I've done literally all the podcast rounds to go. So thank you guys.
Thank you.
Thanks everyone for listening to this new episode of A Waste of Time with It's the Real. Jeff, if people want to find out more about you and me, not the Cassie song.
That's me and you.
Oh. Well, not about that either.
Yeah.
About us, we are It's the Real. Mm-hmm. If people want to find out more about this podcast and our other podcast called Two Jews and Two Black Dudes Review the Movies, mm-hmm. that we do with Sheik and Styles of the Lox, and sometimes Jadakiss. Mm-hmm. If people want to find out more about what we have going on underneath this umbrella that we call It's the Real, where can they go?
You can always go to itsthereal.com, itsthereal.com, no apostrophes, no spaces.
Yeah.
Itsthereal.com all day, every day. You can get our merch over there, itsthereal.com/shop.
Yeah.
You can go and check us out on Twitter at It's the Real, Facebook at It's the Real, Instagram at It's the Real.
Yeah.
Our music is on Spotify and all streaming services, Apple Music, Tidal, Google Play. Go to Teddy Bear Fresh by It's the Real. If you want to find our podcast, all of our episodes are available, all our old ones, all our new ones.
Where?
At iTunes, search for A Waste of Time with It's the Real, or go to SoundCloud, soundcloud.com/A Waste of Time.
Yeah.
Or I guess they're all posted on soundcloud.com/It's the Real.
This is true, too. I just want to give people a heads up, Jeff, about a couple of shows that we have coming up in the New York tri-state area.
Mm-hmm. Well, in Brooklyn.
One is being worked out, that's going to be in Manhattan. The second one in Brooklyn.
Is at the Fool's Gold store.
Yeah, it's going to be on July 28th. We're working out the time. It's going to be in the afternoon. We'll have more details next week. But it's going to be a lot of fun with some special guests. And you guys should get ready to go there. So
pull up.
We'll see you there on July 28th. We want to shout you guys out. We appreciate you for appreciating us. And we appreciate you spreading the word most of all to get this little podcast that could over that hill and on our way to infamy.
Mm-hmm.
Jeff, who would you like to shout?
I want to shout out Tech and Music Fam.
All right. Randy.
Randy, the photographer, great photographer at all the events, big supporter of the quote-unquote culture.
Yes.
And supports these two guys as well.
I want to shout out, Jeff, a boy named Andy.
Andy Bustard.
Andy Bustard, who writes for DJBooth.net and MissInfo.tv and is a real-life friend of ours who we have seen not only in the States, but also in his home country of England when we went last year to London to do our live show with DJ Semtex. Andy came down. It was a two-hour train ride or something like that, right? To hang out with us and experience the live podcast. It was wonderful. But yesterday, he, out of nowhere, shouted us out in this wonderful piece that he did for DJBooth.net.
About Kid Cudi.
Yeah, the 10th anniversary of the mixtape, A Kid Named Cudi. It was a fun piece for so many reasons. You get the behind-the-scenes stories, but you also get taken back to 2005, 6, 7, 8. And it was such a different time in music, such a different time in New York City. And it was fun to experience that through Andy Bustard's eyes, through his words. And we so appreciate him saying the nice things that he did in that piece. Jeff, do we have any more parts to this Mouse Jones episode?
I want no more parts of Mouse Jones.
Shout out to Mouse Jones.
No, shout out to Mouse.
Shout out to Mouse Jones. We appreciate him. We appreciate everyone for listening. As always, guys, not for real, for real.
Sure.
See you guys next week.